is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. There used to be a website full of great reporters about tech called All Things D, run by the Wall Street Journal. Most of those people left to start a brand new website that started up on January 1st. That site is called Recode.net. And my next guest is one of the people who has been writing for the old site and the new site. And when I saw that she was going to be in Las Vegas covering what was going on at the Consumer Electronics Show, I said, well, let's get Ina back on the show. Ina Fried, welcome back to America Weekend.
Thanks. Great to be here, Bob.
Tell me some of what you saw at the Consumer Electronics Show this weekend that made you go, ooh, that's cool.
So any discussion of CES, you got to start with the big televisions. I mean, that's really the thing you can count on year in and year out. This year, there were two trends that were really exciting to look at and probably not coming to any homes anytime soon, and those were 4K, which is the next generation beyond HD. You might have just gotten around to getting your whole house with those HD TVs. Well, this has four times the resolution. And then they also had curved screen TVs, and sometimes they combine the two. So these look kind of like a half moon shape, not quite that convex, but you know, a big kind of curve in it. And the idea is that it's more immersive. Can't really hang it on your wall, but supposedly makes it feel more like you're in the action.
When you say that they're not coming anytime soon, what is the time frame?
Well, they're coming. It's just you and I can't afford them, so you can buy one in the coming year. But you know, when those televisions come out, they're, you know, 80 inches or 100 inches, and they're, you know, tens of thousands of dollars. That's not really aiming at the mass market. Plus, if you get one of these 4K TVs, good luck finding anything in that resolution. It's a big chicken and egg thing, whereas, you know, no one's going to produce content if people can't see it on their TV, and no one's going to buy a TV if you can't get content for it. It takes a while to break that sort of catch-22. But it was fun to look at.
Yeah. One of the other things that I saw you writing about was connected cars and how Google is getting inside our cars.
Yeah, this is actually going to be a big deal and one that people should start thinking about as they buy their next car. Because cars are such a long-time purchase, what you're starting to see is the same kind of operating systems that you've gotten on your phone. So your phone went from just making calls to being a smartphone because it got iOS or Android or whatever. The cars are actually going in the same direction. So you used to have this sort of mapping unit in the center. Maybe it could play music, but it wasn't connected to anything. Now, really, your car is becoming like a smartphone on wheels, is how AT&T likes to put it. So it's got a hotspot, so you can connect other things. It's got access to entertainment services like Pandora for the front seat, maybe even Netflix for the back seat, and it's running other apps using, in some cases now, Android.
Yeah, you know, I've been talking about this for a long time, connected cars, because I think it is really a game changer for content providers like me, frankly. But I'm concerned about something. Am I going to have to get a separate cell phone account for my car, or will I be able to run it through my iPhone?
Well, it depends what you want to do. The answer is probably either one, but you're going to have to pick your car carefully because some are going with the approach you're talking about where you just get everything from your phone. You're already paying for it, all your content's there. Why not just make the car a nice home to dock that phone? And some people are taking that approach, and some people are taking the approach of, you know, what if different people are coming in and out? Let's have a separate account. Because of these shared data plans that really emerged last year, you don't necessarily have to have a whole new billing cycle. You can share a pool of data between your phone and your car, but of course that means that your phone and your car have to come from the same provider. For example, GM is using AT&T, so if you have a Verizon phone, you're going to have a separate account. So the answer is both. It is one to watch in terms of pricing and stuff, but I think really getting a feel, you know, you used to test drive to see how the car drives. Now you want to go test drive to see how it apps.
How it apps, yeah. Not only that, I got to figure out my phone provider for me, my phone provider for my car, my operating system for both of those things. It's just going to get so much more complicated. And I also saw this week that Ford is introducing a solar hybrid car with solar panels on the roof and a magnifying glass on top of those. Were they showing that at CES?
They were, and I must confess, I'm not really a car person. In San Francisco, I prefer to take public transit wherever, but you know, people love their cars. To me, what's most notable about this is that Ford is showing a car for the first time at the Consumer Electronics Show. They could have waited for the Detroit Auto Show, which is like 2 weeks later. That really says to me that CES has arrived as a car show. If Ford's showing not just its new infotainment, but its new car at the show. This is just a concept, so I don't. Again, it's not something anyone will be buying anytime soon, but it is really interesting.
Another thing I was interested in this week was I saw Microsoft starting to run some commercials that attack Google Chromebooks, these kind of lightweight laptops that they're not a tablet, they're still a laptop, but they don't have the weight of a regular PC because they don't have the stuff that a regular PC has on it. I'm curious, at the Consumer Electronics Show, could you look around and see anybody talking about cool new PC stuff, or are PCs dead?
Well, you know, I didn't see a lot of PCs at the show. It doesn't mean they weren't there. I think there were PC makers there. Microsoft used to have a major presence at the show. Bill Gates and later Steve Ballmer used to give the opening keynote every year. They pulled out about 2 years ago. So it definitely has waned as a PC show. There were new computers and new Chromebooks at the show, though. And this Chromebook is an interesting option that you mentioned.
What else did you see that was interesting?
Well, one of the fun things I covering mobile is the fight between the different carriers. We were talking about them in the context of cars, and boy, AT&T and T-Mobile like to go at it. So T-Mobile's CEO actually crashed an AT&T party during the show, and that was pretty fun. So he got himself thrown out of the party, and then I happened to run into him outside of the Venetian later that night, and he told me all about it. It was pretty fun.
Yeah. What about wearables? That was a big deal last year. Has anybody started making money off of things like smartwatches and that sort of stuff?
Not in any significant volume. I mean, Samsung probably sells the most with its Galaxy Gear, but, you know, this is a category that is definitely going to be big at some point, and I would say for the average consumer, just wait a while. I don't think anyone's figured out exactly what we want on our wrist. I think there's an opportunity. Lots of people are saying, well, wouldn't it be nice if you took some of the features of your phone and you didn't have to pull it out? I think that's about as far as the industry has gotten. How that should happen, what that watch should look like, I think we're pretty far away from a good answer. You know, of course, that could change in a heartbeat if, you know, Apple's been quietly figuring this out and someday, you know, just thrust the iWatch on us this year, as they might. We might, if they've got it figured out, we might see something sooner.
Speaking of Apple, your colleague at Recode, Walt Mossberg, wrote a piece about how CES has a reputation for being the place where the hottest new devices are introduced, but it really isn't. And in fact, Apple isn't even there.
It's true, and I think Walt's exactly right. We all pretend like it is. It's this sort of willing disbelief thing where we all get on the plane and go to Vegas and act like this is the center of the consumer electronics world. For me, it's just a good place to meet with people. I mean, I met with, you know, the CEO of Qualcomm and BlackBerry and all these different executives, and it was really great. I didn't see any consumer electronics that I said, wow, this is going to redefine things. As you point out, Apple's not there, but even a lot of the big consumer makers don't introduce their new products at the show. There weren't really a lot of new phones introduced at the show. So I think it's more of a discussion place and a place to see concepts than it is the birth of the next big seller.
You ran into the CEO of BlackBerry. How depressed is he?
You know, it's a new guy, and he's full of excitement. We'll see. I mean, obviously, he's got a tough challenge. I published a couple parts of the interview, and in one part, you know, he was using a lot of medical references, like, you know, he's skilled surgeon, he wants the tough case. He certainly got it in BlackBerry. He says the patient could make a full recovery. A lot of people are skeptical. He is a turnaround guy, John Chen. He used to run Sybase, a, you know, kind of enterprise-y company, but he turned that around amid stiff competition. So he has high hopes. Boy, it's a tough road for them.
Last thing I've got to ask you, Ina, because I'm curious about this as a consumer myself, and I've never gone to this. I've always heard about the CES, and again, it does have that reputation, but I'm curious if you walk around, do you get free stuff?
You know, it varies. I think it's a really good barometer of the economy. When we're in a really big boom, you get more free stuff. I didn't get much free stuff this year. I didn't walk around. Walt's a stickler for ethics anyway, so I couldn't keep it. I don't think it's the best show ever to get free stuff. I think it's really a good show to see cool stuff you're not going to get is how I would put CES, as opposed to other shows where you're more likely to walk away with a bunch of stuff.
Ina Fried, one of the terrific tech writers who used to be at All Things D with Walt Mossberg and Kara Swisher. Now all of them have moved over and started up a brand new website called Recode.net. Congratulations on that, and thanks for joining me again, Ina.
Thanks so much. Anytime.
I'm Paul Harris. This show's called America Weekend, on the air every Saturday and Sunday from the Envision Radio Networks. Thanks for listening. America Weekend.